What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
It's so weird to see the Lucasfilm on anything not Star Wars.
I'm telling you, that's the weirdest thing about this movie is it opens with the, and I just expect like that's all I want to hear. And then, also, anytime one of the planes were like starting, it sounded like, it made me think, I just thought of X-Wings. That's all I could think of when I could, when I heard the sound.
It's tricky because at first, I'm gonna say what's so funny is I didn't see that, like, I thought this movie was directed by George Lucas, and when I first started looking it up, it said directed by George Lucas and Anthony Hemingway, and I was like, wait a second, like I was like, at one point I was looking at one shot like, yo, this is just a refurbished like Star Wars shot of like, I don't know what the spaceships are called, but it was one shot of all like the planes lined up. And I was like, man, this is straight up computer generated. And they just swapped out whatever those like Star Wars ships are or some American ships. This shit is all CG. They recycling on us.
But it's not directed by George Lucas. He just produced it, right?
Yeah, but it's crazy because
he directed the reshoots, apparently.
Oh, because I was looking it up last night and I saw two names, but right now I'm on IMDb and I see one name.
Anthony Hemingway is the director of the movie. Like, is and when the in the credits of the movie, it says it's directed by him. But then, you know, they had to do reshoots and stuff, and George Lucas was very heavily involved in a lot of the movie.
This is a movie based on history. We don't know. Like, we don't study this history in school.
I mean, like, what
did you guys learn
about?
When did you learn about Tuskegee Airmen?
Well, I knew very early on, and I wish I didn't think about it. My friend Ryan, his dad is in like the Air Force, and like he either studied or worked with some of the Tuskegee Airmen. So I knew of them like ninth grade. So like I didn't even think about it until I was watching it. Like I should have had Mr. Jones on, but. Like I've known about it for a while. It's just that I'm not sure how accurate this movie actually is when I watch it. Like this doesn't like, so I don't know. So
I mean, I was trying to look up like, I feel like I knew about it in either in high school or at the, I mean, definitely by, you know, by after high school, but I feel like high school was when I first knew about them, but I don't know now. I feel like it, now I'm like, if you black, you knew about the Tuskegee Airmen, right? Like we knew about, we were just talking about everything black that happened.
But I was trying to
look up like the history, like how much of this is accurate. And there is like a quote of, there is a quote, I haven't done like extensive research on this, but I've seen plenty of things saying like how inaccurate the movie is. But then there was a quote from a Tuskegee Airman that was like, yeah, I mean, it's George Lucas. It's, you know, it's Star Warsified, but that's pretty much what happened. Like that was what we did,
really?
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, again, that's just one quote, you know, it's one quote from one dude, you know, but, but I can't see anything that like is talking about beat by beat, what happened versus what didn't.
Right.
And I don't know if all of these characters are invented soldiers, you know, or if any of them are, you know, are actually people.
It's also tough. Like it's interesting because, well, one, you know, the idea of like having an historically accurate film is always a little, you know, debatable, because it's like, do you really want to have a film that is just a retelling of history? If so, why not just a documentary? You're going to have to fictionalize it in some way. And also, the reality is with war stories, like, you just, there's, you never know exactly what's accurate, because people always embellish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
soldiers are going to embellish. Like, the winning side is always going to embellish. You know, people love telling red tales.
Wow.
Honestly, I'm here for it. Honestly, I kind of felt it coming, but
people,
you know,
love
what?
Telling red tales.
You know what? I'm here for it.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, because I'm, it's like, you know what I mean? You got your fish stories, you know, you got your red tails.
Wait, no. Time out. I agree with you, but not to no goddamn fish stories, Bray. I agree to
not fish stories. That's right. Yeah.
You know, I was on your side. Why'd you, you know what I mean? I tried to help.
What? I'm just saying, you're elaborate, you know, you're embellishing things, you know what I mean?
Please stop doing this. I don't want to be present for this anymore.
I don't know. You're going to tell your kids about this one day. It's going to be a nice red tail.
Why do you keep going? Like, why? No one want. Just start the show.
Jonathan Braylock.
James the Third.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
From the last plane to the last bullet to the last minute to the last man, we fight.
Why didn't you let us do the?
I know you didn't wait. You didn't wait for us, man.
Because the last time I waited for y'all, y'all ain't do shit.
I mean, We know we fight. That's easy.
Wow, James.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars?
I can't.
I could really
I
use
do remember that
right
this song
now.
Was in the movie, and I it actually makes me upset.
Was this in the movie? Did they play? Was this in the? I just thought of an airplane song that could be somewhat related.
Okay.
Is this in the soundtrack?
Maybe it wasn't. For a second, I was like, was that in the movie?
There's no way. I'm about to say, that would be terrible.
It would be so weird if they did do it. But also, like, I wouldn't put it past them. When did that song come out?
It don't even matter. This movie would have put it in there. I'm surprised they didn't play freaking I Believe I Can Fly in this joint.
I think that song came out before this movie came out.
Mm. This movie almost had sunshine in it. This movie just felt so commercial, it couldn't even help itself.
It couldn't.
Wow, we haven't even gotten to, you know.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Because
I'm mad.
He's already going.
I should have been in bed, but I watched this movie, and I should be in bed now. But I'm talking about this movie. So
wow.
This movie's about to get my wrath.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get into that, just so you know, this extremely well-mannered, you know, honestly, it's like delight. You know, just like. When you open up a new when you open up a new pint of ice cream and you take a little spoonful and you put it in your mouth for the first time, that's what this voice sounds like, and that's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
Say you're lactose intolerant, then what does that voice sound like? A bunch of shit.
That was so rude. That was such a rude response to
me. I listened to this nigga episode after episode say, oh, my voice sounds like this. And finally, James.
But everybody know ice cream is good, though.
All right. Well, the yelling voice you're hearing now, that's Gerard Milligan.
That's the passionate voice that y'all hearing.
This voice is James the Third.
And we are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 2012 flick. I was going to say biopic, and that was absolutely false. The 2012 war film, Red Tails, starring, I mean,
every
black truly person. So many.
Everybody's in this movie.
Like, where's
this
the
is
list?
Maybe my ideal cast of people. Like, I want yeah, to see this same group of people do every Black historical
yeah,
film.
Yeah, it's crazy. You got Nate Parker, you got David Oyelowo, you got Neo.
Yeah,
you got Cuba Gooding Jr., Tristan Howard,
Leslie Odom Jr., Michael B. Jordan,
Elijah Kelly.
Elijah Kelly's really good.
I love him. He's a great actor.
Was it Marcus T. Pollock?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leslie Odom Jr., you already said that. Michael B. Yeah. Jordan, you already said that, right? Method Man.
Yeah. The Method Man.
Oh, no, everybody's in this. Method Man with the, like, it's like, truly, it is one of those films where you're like, why did they, like, man, I guess everybody just thought that this was going to be huge because people be agreeing to some really small roles.
Where is the dude who was Andre? There we go. Andre Royo? The dude from The Wire? The dude from The Wire, he was the other mechanic.
There's two dudes from The Wire.
Who's the other
but
dude?
Yes,
Michael B.
He's the one who, Andre is his name. He's the one who plays, well, actually, there's three dudes from The Wire. Wow, you just, yes.
Oh, who's the other
one? Hold on, I'm going to find his name.
I've seen this dude on stage also, Andre Royo. I've seen him on stage. He's great.
Kevin Phillips? Is that the guy?
No, Tristan. Tristan.
Oh, yeah, Tristan. Oh, Tristan was. Is it bad I know Tristan from 90210? The reboot?
No, it's not bad. Haven't you famously never seen The Wire?
I mean, I be wanting to watch it. I just now like entertainment that makes me happy.
I also famously have never seen The Wire. I don't know how famous I am for not seeing it.
No, you're not, but that's crazy.
I famously have never seen. Oh, he famously has, though, being from D.C. and like, you
exactly.
know, there's a lot of crossover there. One might expect. I understand.
You don't need to explain it, but
no, I just was trying to figure out why I wasn't famous for it.
And yeah, this film is about the journeys, the lives of the 332nd Infantry Airmen, also fighter group, also known as the Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah. Okay. What did it make box office?
It made 50 off of $58
million. $58 million budget, and it made $50 million worldwide. What? The international box office, $489,000. It feels like did they even send it out internationally? No. Okay. It was in United Kingdom and Croatia. Those were the only two markets they opened. A World War II war film. Opened in two. Wow, that's kind of crazy.
I mean, the only other thing I was able to find while I was trying to look up historical stuff is that like around this time, George Lucas was like screaming about systemic racism in Hollywood because they're like, we don't know how to market movies like this. How he would keep getting that as a response whenever he was trying to, I guess, wow. either make this or what, you know, or what have you.
Right.
And then hearing they only opened in two markets overseas, it's just like, what? Like, you didn't even try, you didn't even think this would do anything. I don't know.
It has a 40% in Rotten Tomatoes, 58% audience score.
Yes.
Both of those are rotten.
You gotta say it like that.
They are rotten. You know, they're not fresh.
Okay.
What's certified fresh? 60? 60 or more?
Yeah, 60.
Okay.
All right. Initial thoughts.
Man, I just didn't like this movie, man. Like, I just wish I didn't watch it. Like, I like everybody in it. I really like the idea of the Tuskegee Airmen, but also, like, I didn't want to see David run around with some white woman the whole time. Like, I just didn't, like, the special effects look really bad. Then we had to keep cutting back to him running around with this white woman the whole time. And I was like, really, out of every relationship you're going to show, you're going to show this black dude who's a rebel with this white woman. And I'm like, is this really necessary? Is this person real? I had to look it up. I'm not sure if this story and love story is real, but I'm going to keep continuing looking it up. I was like, the pacing is really off. I'm really bored. Also, I'm not going to lie, I can't watch movies on my laptop anymore because I realized the movie's really bad. I'm going to fast forward 15 seconds, see if I miss something, then go back and be like, I really hate this movie. Honestly, 6 minutes into this movie, I think I text y'all at the 6 minute mark. I was like, I don't want to watch this movie. Like, the character development.
I actually didn't understand that when I finally watched it. I was like, wait, why 6 minutes in?
Because you know what it was? It's like when it first started.
What a weird spot to not be interested in much.
It literally starts with an air battle.
So much is going on that's like somewhat exciting.
The problem I had is I realized this is another thing. Hollywood, please listen to this. If you're going to have a movie about extraordinary black people, don't start the first 5 minutes of your movie with white people. I don't care. Like, I don't want to see it. I don't give a fuck how or what is happening. You show me a black person, and then you can cut at the 6 minute mark to a white person, like, and the tragedy happens, and when they need the black person. But like 5 minutes, almost 6 minutes, it was just white people doing shit, and I was like, I don't care. Okay, it's a movie called The Red Tails by the Tuskegee Airmen, and for the first 5 minutes, I don't see not one Tuskegee Airman. I don't see a Tuskegee Airman ship. I don't hear the mention of the Tuskegee Airmen. You know what I see? I see white folks in planes shooting at people. Right. That's how this movie started.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. That is true. Everything you just said is accurate.
A lot of movies start with scenes with people who are not the leads of the movie.
For the first 5 minutes, Bray?
Yeah.
Nigga, if I watched The Matrix, Neo Jurassic in Park. That motherfucker.
Neo's not in the first 5 minutes.
Neo
there
isn't
is a dinosaur minute. In the beginning of Jurassic Park.
No, he's
Park,
not.
Though.
The first 5 minutes of the first 5 minutes of The Matrix is Trinity in one of the greatest action sequences of all time.
That's not a whole 5 minutes. That's not a whole 5 minutes.
I feel like it is because you got you know, the agents are there, they're surrounded, and remember the cops are there and they're like, oh yeah, we gotta surround it. And he's like, your men are already dead. And then it, you know, flat, and then she fights. Yeah. And blah, blah, blah.
I mean, the Matrix, all this may be true. The Matrix ain't called Neo. This movie's called Red Tails,
okay,
and I don't
see the red. You're the one who brought up the Matrix. You can't just switch it up. like the movie Scream. Well, I guess that.
Someone dies in the beginning. Nigga, if you make a movie called The Harlem Globetrotters,
you still get the Scream shit. You get the Scream shit at the beginning of Scream.
Brain. If I watch Ray, if a nigga's name is in the jail, it got. Right. If I watch the Braylock, if I watch the Jonathan Braylock movie, and I'm showing somebody, if I show your cousin Tito for 5 minutes, like, who the fuck is this movie about? Is it about Braylock? Who's about this nigga Tito?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that's it. All I'm done.
That's your next
one. I'm sorry, I didn't like it.
Terat is actually done. He's.
I feel bad.
I famously like war movies.
Famously. Wow, everybody's famous for something today.
Yeah.
Braylock's on his Z-Way. He's getting all these legendary words.
And you know, this is a war movie. So I will say that just because of the genre, I enjoyed it. But it definitely, I can understand why it didn't do well at the box office. And to be fair, that opening sequence was bad because it wasn't, I don't even care about the fact that it was just all white people. It was just like, it was so hard to follow the action. It was like, what's happening? Like, and it was also just a weird, I don't know. It's like, we know so much about World War II. We know so much about its history. Like, showing us a couple of bombers getting shot down the weight of that isn't there. Like, I just know that that's not, like, you know, if these bombers don't get shot down, we're going to lose the war. It's like, no, we're not. Anyway, so it's just...
Like,
it's
I just realized The Last Jedi started exactly like this movie did.
The Last Jedi. Which one was that?
The one with...
Oh, the one everyone loves. That's the one people like.
That's the one everybody loves. Like this.
When he gets frozen. Or... When, like, he gets, like, Han gets, you know.
Nah, brother. I'm talking about episode 8. The most recent, the second to last one that
that was called
out.
The Last Jedi? I thought that was called, honestly, man. I'll tell you this. For George Lucas to love black people, because I know he do, he had a black wife. His movies don't be doing black people justice.
You're right.
That's all. Look, you know, they better give my man Finn a TV show on Disney Plus to make up for that movie they put him in. You know what I'm saying?
Look, this is what I wanted to say, that this movie has a great cast and they're doing things. They really are pulling this movie along. And There are some fun action sequences outside of the beginning of the movie. Like, there are certain action sequences later on where I was like, oh, this is like not bad. Like, it's tough. It's tough to do airplane fights, you know? They're sometimes not that interesting. But this movie did a decent job of it. I don't know. I don't like the screenplay that much, and I don't think I like the directing that much. I don't know. It felt like one of these films where you just wanted it to be so much more. And instead it was just kind of like decent, you know. But I enjoyed it.
All right, look.
Uh-oh. What you going to say, Dan? You can go either way now.
I never wanted to see this movie. Never. I would have been perfectly happy going to my deathbed having never seen Red Tails. I remember the trailers for this movie, and I remember just being like, what the hell? What is this CGI? Why are the planes moving like that? And then we brought this movie up twice. We were going to watch it last week. I said no. Then then somehow it became the movie we were watching today. I don't remember deciding this. And I need y'all to understand, this is my favorite fucking movie. I loved it. I had a great time. This movie, I couldn't believe it. I loved everything. I couldn't believe that I loved, and I hate war movies. And y'all know that I hate war movies.
This wasn't a war movie.
James famously hates war movies.
This wasn't a war movie.
Fame. Okay. But
this was a cartoon.
The first thing that I enjoyed was, there were only a couple planes moving super fast and like being weird, you know? Like, most of the planes moved slow as hell, and you just sat in there with the pilots while they were like dealing with just bullets flying through. I couldn't believe that I was tricked by bad trailers. Like bad trailers made me.
I think those were honest trailers, James.
I think they were honest trailers about what's bad about the movie. Well, what people don't like about the movie that I fully get. Like, I'm where Bray is. Like, I get why people don't like it. But like, an honest trailer about what's bad about this movie is like, you know, we see them like pontificating about like what it means to be black in the world, like all of that, like this, how slow the rest of the movie is. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about bad stuff because I really had a great time. Felt for every character. Oh, I felt for every character. I would have switched Terrence Howard and Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba has one speech in this movie, and it's at the beginning of the movie, and I felt so many emotions. He's looking out at everyone and he's like, we're going to be the best, goddamn, whatever it is that he's saying. And it was the greatest thing I had ever heard anyone say. And then Terrence Howard at the end has a speech. And I was like, man, I ain't trying to hear I'm not trying to hear Terrence Howard deliver this speech. Anyway.
Wait, are you serious?
I am very serious. I would have.
Oh man, I like Terrence Howard way more.
Did you love that speech?
Yeah. I liked his speeches way more. Cuba Gooding Jr. I was like, what is going on?
Oh man, Cuba Gooding Jr. was acting his ass off.
Really?
Maybe I'm biased. Maybe I just love Cuba Gooding Jr. and just wish he was doing more shit.
Did you like both, Jarrah?
The only person I liked in this movie was Nate Parker.
Wow.
I thought Nate Parker was acting his ass off.
You didn't like Elijah Kelly? You didn't like?
Oh, I do like Elijah Kelly, but I just think he's really good and deserves way more than he's gotten. Like, I just think he's very talented. I thought David Oyelowo was miscast. I was like, why?
He was miscast, but I will say this though. If we hadn't seen him in all this other things, I feel like you would see this movie and he doesn't necessarily look the part, but he acted it well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he did. He acted it well. But I think we're also we know who he is. So now it's hard to watch this movie and be like, wait, why did they cast him?
I mean, this movie felt like, you know what it was? It was nice seeing all these black actors in this movie, but it also made me sad. Like, this was the movie that got them together. Like, even Method Man doing some weird accent, Neo doing whatever the fuck Neo was doing. I was like,
I liked what Neo was doing.
Yeah, I was like if he don't shut, D
I like Neo too. And it worked when he sang the, when he sang the Red Hot song. That's when it all came together when he sang that. Like what he was doing before, it was like, okay, all right, that's a choice. Then he sang the song, and it was like, oh hell yeah. It all melded together in a very beautiful way.
I liked Leslie Odom Jr. in this movie, and I wanted more of him. And a part of me was like, did his character disappear?
He never flew a ship. Yeah. But we'll stay talking about we want to get in the air. Like, nigga, then what happened to Michael B? I saw Michael B in an air suit. Michael B died?
He died, yeah. He died.
Okay, I wasn't sure who died because I was like, did Leslie Odom Jr. die? I couldn't remember.
No. Well, who died? Well, there was only
two deaths, right?
Michael B died?
We only see two deaths. Michael B died. Michael B died. And
he was the one who got shot down.
He was the one who got shot down in the final battle. And then David Oyelowo. Those are the only two, right?
Well, no. The guy that got shot up and then his plane exploded.
No. He didn't. The one that landed in.
You're right. He didn't die. He didn't die. 60% burns.
Yeah. He didn't die. Only two people died in this movie. That's another reason why I liked it.
Okay, let's get into it.
It wasn't a war movie where all of my friends died.
There's two things where it looks like they're dead, but then they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. That's fair.
Before we get into this, I got to say this. Okay. I genuinely think I have a problem with these commercial glossy movies.
Absolutely.
About like famous black folk that I feel like Lifetime TV them. Like this, watching Absolutely. This movie, I felt like I was watching Hidden Figures and I was waiting for some pop music to play and I was like, oh shit, here it comes. And Absolutely. I was like, I don't need it to be. So what I want to say is I don't need this movie to be heavy, but this movie mainly took place during the day on green screen. It was overly bright, overly poppy, and it was like the weight of things that was supposed to happen. Like even dealing with Nate Parker's, like his character's like alcoholism, is like we got to it at the very end, but then we didn't really establish where it came from.
It was very basic. It was like
they were just like, now he's drinking.
Character flaw is he has a drinking problem. And we see him drink. And it's like, and it's one of those things where it's like they tell you it. We never actually see him drunk. We just see him like take a couple of swigs of alcohol, and we know because the music is playing that that's a bad thing. But I'm like, there's a part of me that was like, is he the only person drinking? Yeah. I feel like if you're fighting in World War II, you're gonna be drinking some alcohol.
Yeah, like literally, I'm like, I was like, and wait. He's like, you did this. I was like, what did he do? He took one sip. He wasn't slurring his words. He wasn't like I thought he was doing a damn good job.
Well, we saw him took one sip, but David knew he was drinking when he got close to him. So his breath still smelled like.
Because he must have smelled so alcohol,
drank more than a sip.
One sip of, I don't drink like that.
We
if
saw
I take
him
a sip
do one
alcohol,
sip, but his breath smelled
the problem
like.
The problem is they didn't show him ever have impaired judgment because he was drunk.
Literally
or
never.
Do anything that seemed like a drunk would do this. It was just told to us constantly. And all we saw was him take sips of alcohol and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought in the scene when after spoiler, David Oyelowo dies, after he dies and there's that whole moment of like him sort of spiraling, I thought he was going
to
pull
out. Always forget to tell people that this entire podcast is a spoiler.
This movie came out in 2012 and nobody saw it.
When you say a spoiler at the top of the movie, we always say it's a spoiler if we talk about it before we get to it, don't we?
Got it.
That's what we do. Don't we do that? I thought he was going to pull out a flask there, like in the, you know, it seemed like that's what they were trying to deal with. Like, oh, his emotions are too much. You know, he's not cut out for this, you know, but he didn't.
Right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Nice. Nice.
Now, listen, guys. You know about BetterHelp because we've talked about it here on the show many times. But if you're new and you're like, what is BetterHelp? How's your social battery right now? Let's start with that question. Because I don't know about you, sometimes social gatherings, you know, they start picking up in the spring and the summertime. And it's a lot. It could be a lot to just have to socialize with people because, you know, we went through a pandemic. You know what I mean? We were indoors for a long time.
Yeah.
Mine is draining. I have trouble being around. I already had trouble being around people, but now, especially post pandemic, I'm your boy is struggling.
You know, I found a black male therapist from BetterHelp, actually. Wow. I truly, truly enjoy him because, look, it's been a rough year. Not a rough 2024, but a full year that's only gotten, like, more stressful. So I'm like, it has been a lifesaver to actually have a person you seems helpful with actionable things. Also, because you don't want to be, especially in a social setting, always complaining or like mm-hmm. always downer in the corner. So I just avoid it for the most part.
Yeah. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I'm in therapy as well. Like, it is great for me and just like talking through issues that you can't always talk about with your friends. With BetterHelp, it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Well, let's just start. Let's start with this opener. I do think it's bad. I agree.
Well, but this was a thing that I read about the opening that, like, they were, I know that it had no weight when you saw it, Bray. And it also had no weight for me either. Like, it's a thing that, like, has weight once you learn what the airmen go on to do. You're like, oh, all the bombers are getting shot down. They need someone to, you know. But I was reading that they were like, you need to understand that, like, all of the bombers were really getting shot down. Like, they really just were. Like, none of the bombers weren't making it to their destinations. It was a huge problem. And then, had it not been for the Tuskegee Airmen, like, we would have lost. The number of bombers that were lost once the airmen started went down by half. Like, it was like, they were able to increase, you know, help more bombers get to their destinations. Right. In a significant margin. So, like, that's why that's there. But to Gerard's point, it starts the movie from another perspective. Like, this is the white perspective, you know, like, it's like,
but also I didn't get that heaviness of the bombers either. It's like, we heard it in the middle of the movie, but like, we didn't know what the fuck was happening. It was no context. It was like, and also because we had that guy talk about how bad the bombers have been getting and like how they've been getting blown up. We didn't get that until towards the end of the movie. It's like, we could have started with them since we're going to get that information. This movie was 2 hours and 10 minutes, yo. Like, we found that information out almost at an hour mark.
Right.
Or after. And
it's, it, it just is one of those things where it was so unnecessary. Like, we don't, it doesn't translate. Didn't carry over. It was confusing as hell. I literally didn't know who was getting shot at certain times. I was like, are we supposed to follow this at all? Like, it was because, you know, it's just a bunch of, and look, I feel this, and this is, I don't know if this is racist or not, but like, when there's a bunch of white people in a war movie, I can never tell them apart. And this is true. It's one of the reasons Dunkirk, you know, Dunkirk was so confusing to me because I was like, I don't know who's who. I don't know who's dying. I can't follow these people.
You know?
Like, and so the opening of this movie was like my nightmare because I was like, I don't know who any of these people are. People are getting shot. I don't know if it's Germans getting shot or if it's Americans getting shot. I actually can't tell. And also the red text was weird.
Yo, it looked cheap, right? Didn't that look
so
cheap?
So here was my thing that was weird about it. I was already turned off by the Lucasfilm sign coming up was like weird. But then when everything was like block letters, like it. Oh wait, okay. I gotta say, I hated this. This is something I hated about the movie. The first block letters come up and they're like inspired by a true story, and then the first words we see after inspired by a true story. Yes, there's a quotation here, but it's. Blacks are inferior. That's the first thing.
I was like, why?
Inspired by a true story. Blacks are inferior. It's like, hold on.
Yo, I saw that quote and I was like, why did you feel the need to put this quote in here, man?
Yeah, like,
they
should have
started with who the
thought.
Quote was by. Or like, you know what I mean? You can't just, and it was just the words isolated, blacks are inferior. And then everything else came in slow afterwards. I couldn't believe it. But I didn't like that. But then after this, I started getting into it. And then I liked the text. It started feeling very like Lucasfilm-y, kind of like text coming up.
It felt like it was trying to be Lucasfilm-y, but it was like, it just didn't work. I don't know. It wasn't, because it wasn't over a freaking dark, you
scroll.
Know, space scroll. Like, it was like on the air, like this weird, cheap red text. And I was just like, what? And then also, again, there's no way, honestly. The next scene is also an action scene, and it's them like just kind of very casually flying overhead. I guess that's what also trying to do is like show like, and they have like a boring mission, but
that
I don't
was
know.
That was effective. Like, I didn't get the weight of the bombers. I didn't get that, but cutting from like the active war zone to like to them just kind of like, hey, I think that's a truck. Guess we better shoot it. Like, they're just like flying around trying to find stuff to do. And like them being super anxious for more action, you know, that worked. The juxtaposition of that worked.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I was done with the movie by that scene. Like, literally, this is the 6 minute mark. Like, literally, I was like, once we got there and they started talking, I was like, all right, cool. And then when it's like, oh man, that. Is this the train scene? It's like, oh, yeah.
That train
could
be,
it could be like cattle or it could be like guns. And I was like, all right, cool, man. We're going to do something. And then, like, they just shot that ship up. I mean, that train up. And I was like, cool.
What?
I liked this because it was setting up the dynamics, right? It was setting up that Lightning, you know, was a thrill seeker and, like, you know, trying to do all kinds of crazy shit. And like, and honestly, like, this is the stuff that I don't think this was effective to y'all, but this was very effective to me. The bullets just knocking out the glass and like, just the way that was presented. I've never seen that before in something. Maybe I don't watch enough stuff, but like, I felt like I was in the war in a way that like, I don't know. It was digestible to me. You know, I could watch it, but it was like, I still felt like I was there. I don't know. I loved that.
Right. I felt like I was, man, I'd say this movie made me want to go watch Top Gun. That's what it did.
Oh, God. See, no. Top Gun is so boring. Top Gun is such an overrated film.
I don't think it's entertaining, but I think the biggest problem I have with this movie is the physical flying, because none of it looked real. And the thing is, again, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan like that. So like, I know people are probably more adjusted to seeing like cartoon ships and stuff. But even when I watch like Mandalorian, I'm like, all right.
Well, Star Wars, it was models.
Yeah. That is a problem of latter day Lucas. He was like, I love CGI, and just made everything CGI, which was a big turnoff. But there was something about, I don't know, they whenever they would go into the cab, it didn't feel as glossy as I know the movie to be.
Yeah, the CGI didn't bother me that much.
I couldn't get away from like the coloring, the background, and like it. You know what it was? This is the thing I will say. It's like, yeah, I've seen Mandalorian. I actually like how some of the stuff goes. It's like I at no point could not notice that they were just probably sitting on a green screen with like a thing over time. Like nothing felt real. And I was like, and I know, of course, they're not flying, but like it didn't even feel like they were in a simulator at one point. It just felt, everything felt so fake. And it felt like even at certain points, they were acting like it was, like at certain points, I was like, oh, they're acting like what's happening. I think like Tristan Wild was looking in a different direction. I was like, I cannot handle this. But I was just being nitpicky. I just couldn't, I don't know, man. But I'm happy.
A lot of people didn't like this movie. I don't think it's just that you're being.
But I'm happy y'all like it, though. I'm happy, like, because I don't want to crap on it. It's just.
Yeah, that part of it didn't bother me. It was more just it was like, there's a part of me that was like, oh, we're starting with them, like, already here. Like, it took a while to get who these people were. Like, the character development was very slow and not great. Like, that was my problem, was that, like, it was very generic, like, all right, lightning is, you know, the daredevil who doesn't follow orders. And Nate Parker does follow orders, but he drinks. And then we have the dude who prays to Black Jesus. And then we have, you know, Neo, who's just like talks weird. And then like and then like Michael B. Jordan is the newbie, you know, and Leslie Odom Jr. is the one who's gonna speak up in the mission, like when they're getting like their mission, and be like, how can we never fly a plane? And then it was just like, that was that. But then I was like, I liked everyone, and the actors brought, I think all the actors brought something to it, so I did care about the characters, to like James's earlier point. But none of them had like a storyline that I cared about, because like we don't know anything about any of them. Like, we don't know really
the only person,
any of their backstory.
We only got a little bit of Nate Parker's backstory because of his dad. He was like, yeah, what are you going to do? My dad wants me to be a lawyer because he's a lawyer, so I guess I'm going to do that. And then we saw David risk everything for this white lady. So
how are you going to have this movie? That is a terrible characterization of what happened. He doesn't risk anything for the white lady.
He actually does it. He risks everything.
Look, man, he goes into the city. He goes into the city every time.
That happens in times of war. Like
by
in
yourself?
Times of war,
yeah. By Italy.
By yourself,
they're not in a racist America. They're in Italy.
But by yourself,
yeah. If you're, yes,
yeah. Why not? Yes.
I don't know. If I'm in unknown territory,
you bringing your mans while you go to be with your girl.
This nigga flew over a house. And first off, this is my thing. And this is my big thing. I had to look it up. And I'm like, I don't know who his character is actually based on. But I'm like, I think I strongly have a problem with these bubblegum pop black movies like this that always have to find a way to like, there has to be a good white person in each one of these movies. Like, whether they helped the black people, whether they're like speaking up for them, whether it's like a white lady like showing the black person love. I'm like, it just... It wasn't a need to me, unless this person is real and based on someone we can look up. There was no need for this. Like, that time would have been better spent showing the bond build between like him and Nate, or like maybe Nate's alcoholism, so we can focus on that. Or like, why Lightning have a family? Like, why is he so gung ho? Like, what's up with some of the other black folk? Like, he went back too many times for me, man. Like, why?
I will say that the actual relationship was tough because, like, they didn't speak another language. And it was weird to have, like, the second character have this romantic relationship build. Like, and then they, you know, but, like, that said, I mean, look, there 100% there were black soldiers over in Europe. And some of those black soldiers definitely had some relationships with the women over there. Like, that, of course that happened. You know, it's not based on a particular person, but it is a thing that happened. And it's like, literally like the only woman in this film.
Yeah. And they give it to him because he's going to die. Like they give it to him so that you can be sad when he, so that you can have a
and it worked.
Yeah.
For me, I was sad. It made me a little, made it a little sadder.
It did. Jirah hates this. You know.
It's funny Jirah hates this. He's the one who started the swirl and is mad about a swirl.
Well, you know what it is? I just don't like, it's more so not about like the swirl. It's like, and when it comes to this movie, these movies about like important black figures, figures we don't hear about a lot. Like again, Tuskegee Airmen are very important. Like, you know, even they even touch on like the Tuskegee experiment and like how they even labeled this, that. Hence how they got their name. And it's like, there was so much ground to cover. And I feel like we didn't talk about these men a lot. Even if we had to talk about like, maybe not eight of them, like they were trying to, maybe we just had to talk about like three or four. And I do think there's more to humanize black people by showing this black dude falling in love with a, like showing this black dude who people think are like off the rails, humanizing him by like having him date this white lady. I think he could have been humanized by showing how much he cared about his friends. Like how they hinted at literally like towards the end of the movie. It's like, we didn't get that built for the whole, it felt like lost things. And it's not just this movie. A lot of these bubblegum historical black movies do this. It's not just them. So I don't want to make it like it's Red Tails. All of them shits do that. And I don't understand why we can't live in the world we live in, where it's like, yo, you know, yeah, maybe they was hooking up with this white girl, but we ain't got to focus on that. That ain't got to be the main story. And maybe there isn't a nice white person in this movie. Like, I think that's why, like, Judas was so refreshing, because it's like, yeah, at this time period, there wasn't a nice white person helping these niggas. They actually were trying to take them down. You know what I'm saying? That was what was happening. And it's like, it feels so fake. It feels so fake. And it feels so like, I don't know who this movie's for, because it ain't for us. I don't. Did y'all learn more stuff about the Tuskegee Airmen? Did y'all like
a little bit, I guess.
It being something that I just know existed, knowing that the Tuskegee Airmen existed, like my understanding of like that their thing was that they were, you know, they were the thing about the bombers thing is the thing that I learned.
Right. That last mission.
Gotcha. And the like, and the like, the way that they flew. I don't know if that's a way they sort of manufactured this for the movie, but they flew better. Like they weren't just a good unit. They like could do it better, and like people didn't realize that. I don't know. Like sometimes seeing that stuff, you know, helps you to like, it kicks it up that extra notch. Just literally just seeing like, yeah, they were able to fly closer to the bombers than the other pilots were doing. And like, they were fearless and they wanted to do, you know, I don't know, like that. I will say that I fully agree that this movie is sort of watered down bullet points of what happened. Right. Like that is 1000% true. And like, maybe that's how I like my war movies, because I'm not trying to like sit in the sadness the whole time, you know. And I would have liked to have known these guys more. I would agree with that. But I think that that's also can be, you know, like a problem with a lot of these movies, that like, you know, they are trying to cover so much. They do want us to sort of get to have a feeling for the team, the unit. You know, we're not going to sit with just a few guys. We're going to try to get a sense of more people. Like, I remember when I first realized Michael B was in the movie, it was way later than I think he was first. It was way later than I think he was first introduced. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, shit, Michael B. Jordan is in this movie, right. You know. But I don't know. I don't disagree with your assessment of it, you know. So when I say there are these things that I liked about it, it's not to say that like what you're saying is untrue of it, but like, I don't know. Like I, it also didn't feel, to me with this Italian woman that he weds, it didn't feel to me like it was, even though he does go to her so many times and almost every time we see him not in a plane, it is with her. To me, his thing felt like what he was trying to do with the war, and this relationship was what he was trying to set up for after, you know. But the thing that I latched on to the most was like, was his maverick sensibilities, was his like, reckless behavior kind of stuff. That took precedent to me over the other thing.
I get that. I liked having a cocky dude. It felt forced. Yeah, maybe Bray's right. Maybe because like I'm watching this after knowing who he is, but it's like something about that just also, man, I don't know. It was like this cast was so dope, and like this is before Michael B was on the come up, you know what I'm saying? It was like they had everybody, and it just feels like, you know what it is? Okay, Bray, this is my attempt to reach mm-hmm. out to Bray. This is like you're watching your favorite basketball team and they got the fucking squad. It's like, yo, these niggas this year is at least making it to the finals. But they get like swept in the first round. It's like, how? How did you do it? Maybe they win one game, but it's like, what happened here? You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like I'm shocked and I'm offended and I'm hurt for them. But I'm also like, I would have did this movie too. But then I would have been like, do I talk about it? It's like, there's so many emotions in it. Like even, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I don't know. I'm trying to read about like the history and what's real and what's not. It's so hard because it's like, the reality is Tuskegee Airmen is like, it's a bunch of different, it's like a huge group of people. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know who the famous, like, is there like a famous Tuskegee Airmen pilot? You know, it seems like, they have to do some sort of amalgamation of stories in a sense. It was kind of an interesting choice, and I wonder how much they debated it to not show the training, to not start at the training process and to just immediately go to them, like, already over there, already kind of doing the thing. Because, like,
yeah.
That's a good point.
It made like it's tough, right? Like war movies are hard, especially when you're doing a part of the war that like at the end of the day is like a story, but like look, we all make meaning out of every battle. But some battles and like they're like, "Oh, this is the battle that turned the tide or whatever." But like every battle can't be that battle. So it's like, you know, and what the Tuskegee Airmen are most famous for is like basically, you know, shepherding these bomber pilots and like keeping them safe. But like, that's not inherently, it's not a thing to necessarily build up to. You know what I mean? It's not D-Day. It's not even a movie like 1917, where it's like that whole movie is just about this. You know, two dudes who are sent with a message to like let like another squadron know like they're going to get ambushed, and like who knows if that is like that important to the war or whatever, but it's important to those people, and they have one mission, and that's the mission for the movie, right? Saving Private Ryan, it's like we got to get this guy back home. You know what I mean? Like there, a lot of war movies like Dunkirk is like we got to get our troops from the beach back to England. Like they're given a very clear directive at the beginning of the movie, and then the whole movie kind of follows that. This movie doesn't have that because there is no, it's like they don't start with the clear directive. It's also not a movie that just follows the journey of these people, because you know, it's like we don't start with them in you know, training and then getting to this place. So it's a weird like snapshot that doesn't, story wise, doesn't quite work. And that's why they have to like string all these different elements together. They had to put in some love story because it was like, what else were they going to talk about? I don't know.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like I think maybe it was a mistake to not start there, because I guess like racism is like one of the main you know, villains of the film, but like,
oh, it's, yeah, I guess
it's very light. Like, yeah, you're like saying,
that doesn't,
you know,
feel heavy. Like,
no, it's not. And it's done in a Hidden Figures way, where it's like, you know, you got Bryan Cranston being like, I hope you know, like, I still don't respect you. And he's like, sir, I don't care. And it's like, respect the uniform. That's the only thing I respect. And then that's that scene. You know what I mean? And then we never see Bryan Cranston again. And you're just like, okay, like I don't know. Like it's
It's like, but, why? Why?
You know, it's just like these little do. It's tough. It's like they didn't follow. I feel like they didn't follow a character and they also didn't follow a story. They like, kind of gave us a little bit of both. But there were scenes that were fun. You know what I mean? Like the cast clearly liked each other, I think. Like they had some chemistry.
Yeah, I just wanted more. No, I agree with that. I think like they generally had a lot of fun. And I think that's my you know what it is? For a movie that had them together a lot, I don't know why it still feels like I don't know that crew. Because they were there. Like, it wasn't like you didn't have scenes with them. It was just like, it felt, you know what it was? It felt like they had scenes of people just like joking, but it felt like there was no real insight into like anybody.
I mean, it is what that thing that Bray was saying, though. It is like they are generic, you know? They are generic characters with like code names that like that match what's generic about them, right? Like we call the religious dude, was that Deacon or no? That might not be true. But Joker is the guy who's funny, and Lightning is, he's, you know, their names all matched their characters, you know.
And it just sort of the guy want to be called? He was like, don't call me Junior anymore. Call me,
it was like Lightning. I mean, it's like some some spark plug or some shit. This motherfucker gets
spark plug.
I got to talk about this. Every time somebody was in danger, I felt it. I felt it 1,000%.
I agree.
Every single time. So like when Junior first gets hit and he's all bloody, I'm like, oh damn, Junior's done. Junior's done. No, nope, he so wasn't funny. Done. He got in another plane.
It's funny, the moment he landed that plane, because I was like, at first I was like, oh yeah, man, people about to be dying. This is crazy. This is going to be so sad. The moment he landed that plane, I was like, no one's going to die in this movie. And it's like, yeah, we got two people, but I was like, the stakes were gone. The moment,
it was beautiful.
Literally, when Junior got like captured, I was like, I remember saying out loud, I was like, he ain't going to have a scratch on him.
He did have scratches on him. But
not from them.
He's gonna be fine. And I loved that. I was very thankful for that.
Well, they told us he was dead. Then
when Deacon was trying to, oh my God, when Deacon, okay, Deacon's whole thing, that was like a 2-minute sequence of it from leaving the war to leaving the battle to the land. That whole thing was entirely too much for me. He's dizzy. The gas is all over him. He passes out.
Dude, it was stressful.
It was so. And then he screams no as he crashes.
I'm gonna die.
It was.
Yeah, I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die.
He's dead. I can't. And then
I thought he was dead. I was like, damn, he died. And then they were like, he's gonna live. He's got 60% burns. And I was like, oh, thank God.
I knew he was safe. I
was so thankful.
I don't know how
he
knew he was safe. The man was fireball.
Legitimately, once, like, I'm gonna be dead real. The moment Tristan Wiles landed that plane, I was like, I was shocked. I was like, maybe one person to die. But I was like, this isn't the type of movie. Like, it's not the movie that's gonna make you sad.
I swear to you that we all did. Everyone knew. From the moment Nate Parker said, hey, you know, flying is about more than fancy tricks. We knew that David Oyelowo was going to die doing some fancy trick, saving Nate Parker.
But they kept, you kept thinking he was going to die and he kept not dying.
And
you were just like,
not dying.
Oh man, I thought he was going to die then. I thought he was going to die then.
But when he did, and it was so slow, and it was like doing a thing, and they just threw in the scene before, they were like, hey, have you ever met one of those crazy fighter jets? Well, oh, you don't want to do that. He died taking out. It was too much. It was too much. And they drug it out. They dragged that out for so long. And I was like, I was a wreck. I couldn't believe that they got me. And I knew it was going to happen the whole movie.
It was sad. I know.
Yeah.
But I agree, James. I thought it was sad. I think it was just this fact that, like, because everybody was kind of like two-dimensional,
And there wasn't really like a storyline kind of stringing us through outside of like, we want to see action and we're like not getting enough action. Which, by the way, when that dude like got half blinded, when Junior got half blinded and was like, no, 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 I still want to be out there. I literally was like, do you hate your family? Like, because what? Dude, what? You want to fly a plane half blind? Like, how badly do you not want to go home? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's a direct ticket home, isn't it? Like, it's a, truly, he should have just gone home.
Yes. I'm like, oh, you don't want to go home.
But also they did say, like, you know, a lot of Black people were treated better overseas than America. So I
and
guess
see, we didn't bit. We didn't really get that, you know. And that's the thing. There's a lot of different stuff. Like, even with this relationship, it was like, there was no weight to any of this because they just didn't build it up enough. It's like we get the one thing where they go into one of the bars and it's all the white people, all the white Americans there, and you know, they're racist, and he like punches a guy, and then everybody yells at him. He's like, you just want to fight. And I think it was more the screenplay than the editing, actually, because there's a part of me that was like, okay, you're telling me he just wants to fight, but like the dude called him the N-word and he punched him. Like, it's pretty,
it makes sense. Why?
I don't know.
This.
I don't. What? Like, nobody else did that? I don't. It was just one of those things where I was like, you're telling me something about this character that I feel like you're only telling me, and you're not really showing me, and I don't actually buy it. I don't know. But I did like the scene. It's so hard to even explain like how I enjoyed this movie, but also felt like the screenplay was very bad.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Because that is the thing of this movie, right? It's 58% audience score, 45 critics, right? And like 58 is surprising to me as someone who watched it and actually enjoyed it. But that feels high to me, right? Because I remember, again, I would have gone to my deathbed having never seen Red Tails. I never wanted to see it. I never wanted to see this movie. And I can't believe that I enjoyed it as much as I did. But like, yeah, the movie's, it's weird like that. It's weird because it probably, like, there are things about it that are like super formulaic. So they're designed to make you feel a certain way, right?
That's true.
And so it's like, because it hits certain beats, it is enjoyable to some.
Who wrote this?
It's the guy who wrote Three Kings.
This guy wrote Three Kings?
Yeah, John Ridley.
I never saw
he
that.
He did Story By for Three Kings. He wrote Undercover Brother. Co-wrote it.
Oh, wait, he wrote 12 Years a Slave?
And then he wound up winning 12 Years a Slave and won a freaking...
Yeah. But this Academy movie... Award. And Aaron Magruder co-wrote this.
12 Years a Slave is, yeah, much better screenplay than...
They brought him in later.
Oh, Aaron Magruder co-wrote this. Wow. And Aaron Magruder is great.
Aaron Magruder is great. Aaron Magruder is
great. I also think, like, their screenplay probably got screwed with. Like, I think the director definitely played a hand in... Because there are some things where I was like, that feels like there was more here. Like, there's the one scene where, like, David Oyelowo, it's like after they kind of fought, and like David Oyelowo like comes and like sits by Nate Parker.
Yeah.
Like on the bed. And then it cuts to him like proposing to his girlfriend. And I was like, wait, what was this bed scene? Like, or is it just showing us that they're good again? I don't know. It was like, there were just some scenes that I was like, this stuff doesn't make any sense. The editing was strange at times.
Yeah.
The pacing was strange. Oof. Yeah. We didn't have, like, what was Nate Parker's main, what was his main storyline? Was it the drinking?
Yeah, man.
It was the drinking.
It was the drinking.
And the fact that he was afraid of, like, making the wrong decision as a leader?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
But that also was very much, like, was very much told to us.
Everything was told to us, dude.
You know? Yeah. And that's my ultimate thing about the movie is that, like, there is a lot of telling, very little showing. But because, like, because the Tuskegee Airmen are interesting, the movie was legendary. You know, the movie hit me in a way that it probably wouldn't have hit me had I watched it in 2012. Like I probably would have hated it in 2012, you know? And this is one of those, this is another one of those movies that should be better, should be bigger. That was one of the main things I saw in a lot of the reviews was like, you know, when Harriet was made, we of course chat on it because it was like this figure deserves a movie that matches how incredible she is, you know?
Right.
And my enjoyment of Red Tails is not because I feel like this is a movie that captures the essence of what makes them, in such an amazing part of American history, not just Black history, but American history, right? But did I get to watch a movie about them? And did I feel some thrills? Yes. I don't think the same is true of some of these other movies that this does fall into the category of, you know, like I didn't feel any thrills with Hidden Figures. I didn't feel any thrills with Harriet, you know, but like this, you know, and I also think that part of my enjoyment has to do with how I went in expecting one thing and I got something else. Like this, the movie was not what I thought it was going to be. You know, it wasn't just gloss. It wasn't just this sort of other thing. You know, it kind of, I don't know. That's what was surprising about it to me.
Yeah, man, this movie, honestly, I wish I didn't watch it. I'm not going to lie. Like, we fasten stuff up. I fast forwarded a lot through this movie, man. And I still feel like that wasn't enough time.
Gerard, this is why you ain't like it. You fast forwarded through it.
I was very
How much did you fast? Be real. How much did you fast forward through?
No, I watched. I'll say this. It was 2 hours. I definitely watched at least an hour. I definitely watched pretty much all of it. It was just certain moments. I'm like, nothing's happening here.
Yeah, like you're fast forward and you're seeing the Italian girl again. And you're like, this fucking white lady. You're not seeing the scene.
It's like, I'm just like, I don't care. The thing is like, I don't care. I don't
care. God damn it, the white lady's back. This is Gerard watching Red Tails. Oh, fuck, the white lady's back, man. This ain't shit. Why don't I know these characters? Well, I missed a whole hour of it.
No, I didn't fast forward that much. But I definitely did fast forward through when the white lady came. No offense to her. I'm pretty sure she's a wonderful actress. I was just like, they went back to her more than I thought they were, which I guess makes sense. They were trying to make that love story make sense.
Yeah, man.
I just don't understand.
It is a Disney movie, I guess, you know, at the end of the day.
I mean, it is on Disney.
It felt
Plus.
Like it was PG. I'm sure it was PG-13 because of the action, but it almost felt like a PG movie, you know?
It's hard because I don't understand, like, I liked Remember the Titans, and I realized Remember the Titans is one of these bubblegum Disney movies.
And that's all fake, right? Like, none of that...
All fake. Like, not all, but, like, Coach Boone, like, he got fired. Like, they got him out of there. Like he still, to this day, defends himself. They, like, try to get him on some bullshit. Like, all fake, even after he did so much for them fucking whatevers. But I'm like, why was that movie enjoyable? But when I see the rest of these little shits, it's like, again, Green Book, worst movie ever made. It's like, you know, top two worst movies ever made, you know. That movie won an Oscar, you know what I mean?
What's and
that
the
movie,
other one?
The other one is...
Birth of a Nation?
Exactly. Yeah, Bray knows me very well. Bray, you know me very well. That's, of course, what the number one worst movie is. The movie that was shown at the White House when it came out because people thought it was so good.
So it goes...
Yes.
To be clear, it goes...
Yes.
Birth of a Nation, Green Book...
And then Trolls 3.
All right.
There is no Trolls 3.
Oh, is it Trolls 2?
No, it's coming out, isn't it?
No, isn't it coming out? Not the animated one. What's the live action one?
Oh, Troll. Like, yeah. Okay.
Troll? Whatever.
Wait, what's that?
Oh, Bray, when you get bored, you should watch it. So those are my top three worst movies ever made. You know what I mean?
I mean, Green Book is kind of put, Green Book may be number one because it is bad. It is low key offensive, but it was awarded during the modern era. At least with Birth of a Nation, people are like, oh, we can't like this no more, even though, you know, it's still in the National Film Reserve. But like, you know, so they kind of neck and neck. Like, you know what it is? One got up to go to the bathroom first. So it's like neither one reached it, but like one got two steps extra ahead of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If I meet Mahershala Ali, I got to tell him. I'm like, hey, bro, you know.
He knows.
Like, you know. Well, he won that Oscar,
though. He got his Oscar, though.
When he showed up with a hat on at the Oscar.
There is a Trolls 3.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Oh, no. It's fantastically horrible. I love it. It is a wonderful watch. Please, if you get bored, watch it. It will be more entertaining than Red Tails. I will buy you, I will help reactivate your AMC account if you watch that and tell me if it's not more entertaining than Red Tails.
I couldn't believe how slow the planes were flying because the trailers made it seem like I was about to see
but maybe
2 hours of literal nonsense flying.
But the planes were supposed to be slow.
But it was
slow.
The jets at the end. Ah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, look, man, you know, I will say Hollywood does need to do one of these cool team ups for black actors. I feel like they have it for action heroes. You know, you see like, you know, the majority white cast when they get to do these kind of team up movies. I'm even like really excited for, what is it? Gunshake? Milkshake? What's the name of that movie? I'm excited. I just want to see a black.
Gunpowder Milkshake?
Gunpowder Milkshake. I just want to see, what's the black meetup? Like, what's the black elite fucking movie look like? You know what I'm saying? We got like, and I'm talking about like cross generation. I'm talking about the movie where I'm looking at Angela Bassett in a scene with Issa Rae, who's in a scene with Michael B. They're
Drive,
fucking
you don't write this.
Huh? Come, dude, it can't like
Drive,
even if it's like a fun movie. Man,
Black
I don't,
Panther 2, I mean.
Honestly, Braylock, you joke, but you're right. We're all going to Wakanda, niggas. Well, that dude got dragged before he even got announced. Good Lord. Internet is swift, boy. Anyway, y'all ain't hear about that dude? I'm not going to talk about him.
Wait, no, what?
We'll talk about it.
What you're talking about.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Like, we'll talk about it.
Here's my thing. I'm going to have to do this. I feel like I'm going to have to do this. You know, all my other bits are dead from now on. Is cool. Red Tails a good movie? Is what I'm going to ask y'all every single
people don't
episode.
Understand James,
for the next minimum the next year and people, here's why I'm gonna ask is it good because I really had a great time watching this and I thought I was gonna have a miserable time and I also I fully agree with both arguments that I just heard.
It actually legitimately makes me question what the word good means.
Is it entertaining?
I enjoyed it, but is it good?
Is it good?
Is it good?
Should this have been made?
I don't know if it's good.
Should it have been made? You know? And like,
I mean,
and I think
it's
we
on
need
Disney
another.
Plus.
It is on Disney Plus. And I that definitely think we need another movie, you know, with the Red Tails moniker, you know, that's about these men that like tells the story, you know, with all of the gravitas that it deserves, not just, you know, pop stuff, but like, honestly, like, man, it has a 58%. I am shocked. I know it's not fresh. I can't believe it's 58%. And I can't believe I enjoyed it.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's time for the cause.
Yeah.
We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether it helps the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Damn.
So if the film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. And if we believe it did not help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Okay.
On the count of three, ratings for the cause. Okay. One, two, three.
Oh, you can't see it. my back drop blocked my head.
Gerard.
You gave it nothing, Gerard?
I'll go first.
I'll say this first. Okay. I almost gave it a palm, Gerard.
I'll go first.
Nothing.
I'll go first, Gerard. This is my thing. And I didn't base it on, I really didn't base it on whether I liked it or not. I based it on, do I think it helped these actors get other parts? And I truly don't think this was the movie that helped somebody get a part. I actually think if you were asked most of the actors if they made this movie, they would have forgotten. Like, if you went up to Michael Biehn, like, hey, man, how was Red Tails? They'd be like, what? What's that?
You know damn well they remember that they did it, and they're upset.
Low key, I feel like it is not a movie people are like, you know, okay, whatever. I feel like we all are people, we live in the real world, and like sometimes you hook up with somebody and it's like, ah, damn. Is that person's on my list now? Like, shit. You might
think I may am be a that person to some people.
I'm about to say,
I think some people are like, oh, damn, James the Third?
No. I may be that person, but I feel like this movie is that movie. Like, I don't think outside of like David, which I really don't think this helped David, I don't think this helped Nate, I don't think this helped Michael B, and the people who aren't them, this movie definitely didn't help them. I really don't think, even so much so, that when I think about the movie that put Michael B on and particularly like Fruitvale, the reference that Ryan Coogler gives is Friday Night Lights. That nigga wasn't like, hey, yo, man, I saw that motherfucking Red Tails. Yo, I had to put that nigga in this movie. Like Ava DuVernay wasn't like, hey, man, Martin Luther King was in Red Tails. You know what I'm saying? It helped him pay rent, which God bless. I love.
I don't know. Selma came out in 2014. This movie came out in 2012. The timing's pretty close, though, and this is definitely his biggest role.
He ain't American Negro. They like the non-American Negroes. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on my British accent now. I'm about to start talking. Okay. I'm about to come on this podcast and be a whole new
There are a lot of British black actors.
It's not going to work the other way.
Nah, watch. Watch. Yeah, I remember when that one 30-something-year-old white lady swindled everybody because she thought they were like, she was like 18 and she's writing on them TV shows. I'm about to show up and all these casting offices with a new name. Just looking.
Don Cheadle had a British accent in Ocean's 11.
True. It's like, no. I mean, but just so you know, it wasn't because of I think it helped the cause in it. I mean, you guys are probably going to tell me why I did, but I just was like, I don't know.
Well, I'll say I almost gave it a palm because it didn't make a lot of money, and I know that, like, you know, well, I would now, not thinking about Selma, that is pretty close, but it was like, I feel like Red Tails was a movie that people were trying to sweep under the rug after it came out. So like, I almost gave it a palm for that reason, but because it employed so many black, there were like extras. I was like, I know that Nick. Like, it was like, there were just so many black people in this movie.
Yeah, I get that.
And just thinking about what George Lucas was saying about how like it was tough to make the movie because people are like, how do all black movies fare overseas? You can't, how do I market this? What do I do? You know, and and, you know, I don't know if this movie helps the cause, but going back to what Aaron Covington said when he was on the pod, like, this movie, like, is the cause. Like, someone like a George Lucas or anybody with clout being like, I'm going to make this movie with all of these black people and fuck how you feel, I'm making it, you know? Like, that to me feels like that's why I gave it a fist, but I did almost give it a palm.
I think this movie definitely helped the cause. I mean, look, the other thing you have to remember about Hollywood is people get their next role usually before the movie that they starred in comes out.
Yeah,
and so when people are like, oh, you were cast as a leading character or supporting lead in like a movie made by George Lucas that has a $58 million budget, sounds like you're good enough to be in an art movie. You know what I mean?
Like, I give you that.
I feel like it had to, I feel like it definitely helped David Oyelowo at the very least. And then like, who knows? I don't know if it like actually helped Leslie Odom Jr. Obviously he became famous because of Hamilton, but like, it was crazy to me to see him in this movie. I was like, I was like, oh my God, he was, I didn't realize he was doing movies before Hamilton, you know? And I think he didn't start Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton is kind of famously had a very long road, but I still don't think it wasn't this early. It was probably like 2013, 2014. And there was just so many other people like, yeah, this probably didn't actually help Michael B. Jordan, but like, it's still another credit. Like, you know what I mean? Like Nate Parker wasn't a household name yet. I mean, I guess he still isn't. I don't know, but I don't know. I feel like this movie helped. I think this movie helped people. It gave a lot of people, you know, Terrence Howard was kind of already, he already did Iron Man at that point, but
Iron Man.
You all are main, man.
Iron Man.
Everybody in this unit, man, is a main, man. That's why I didn't like it. That's why I couldn't deal with the speech. Cause he was like, why was he so casual? Why was he trying to rile everybody being that casual?
Yo, Jamie Foxx is an asshole. He can ruin anybody's career. Yo, now after hearing him talk about Terrence, all I hear is Mike. Go ahead, Mike. That's all I hear.
I'm just saying, cast Cuba Gooding Jr. more. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they should have switched parts and I don't like Terrence Howard, because I love Terrence Howard. Hustle and Flow is my shit. But just cast Cuba Gooding Jr. more, please. Put him in more stuff. That's why, big. He's never stopped working. So why, put him in more big stuff.
Nah, man. He good, man.
All right. I'm saying radio was a long time ago. Oof, let's radio. Forgive actors for movies that we didn't like. Let's put Cuba Gooding Jr. back in a movie. Wait, this is my
what?
New bit.
What
my
movie?
New bit at the end is I'm going to say, put Cuba Gooding Jr. in more stuff. I'm having a breakdown. This movie has broken me in so many ways.
Don't you think it's so crazy that the People versus O.J. Simpson was like such a huge television show? Ugh. And like the person who probably got the least amount of like
why
heat from
this?
That was
why are you doing this?
Cuba Gooding Jr. And he played O.J. Simpson
because he was in jail. It wasn't about O.J.
They brought
it was
him
about
back to
O.J.
They brought him to American Horror Story. Thankfully, he did the season right after that. But then it was like, you know, but then he's probably still. But wait, but isn't he? Hold on, he's problematic now, right? My bad. I'm out here championing him, and he's like, he ain't that great. Never mind. Don't cast him. Don't cast
Terrence Howard problematic. I mean,
yeah, but Cuba, like, I think
all these men.
I think
all
Cuba.
Well, don't cast Cuba no more because we don't fuck with him no more. But I'm just saying he was good at what he did though.
He was like grouping people at the club and shit like that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
All right. Well, my bad.
I saw him in New York once.
At a club?
It was like one of those like speakeasies. It was one of those places where they like play the piano. It was a very small like bar in the Lower East Side, the Village. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you'll find links to merchandise. We got t-shirts. We got phone covers, pillows, anything you want. Not anything. It's on TeePublic. Guys, check it out. And we have a defunct Patreon where we no longer do new episodes, but we have a year's worth of episodes. So if you haven't done that, sign up. It's $5 a month, and then you can unsubscribe whenever you want. And also, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, we will read your review on the air. This one is by Underwater55. I love it. Very funny. I appreciate the perspective on race in the movies. Simple and sweet.
Thank you. That's really nice.
Oh, I dig that.
I liked that.
Yeah. And also, we have like this thing called Letterboxd where you could like, you know, suggest movies for us to watch. And
help
it on
us
our
out.
List.
Help us out.
You know, this was on that list, I think.
Yep.
And what else is there to say other than we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!